Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber of Bethel Church in Tupper Springs, Ohio, where our mission is connecting people to God. Welcome to our podcast. I'm very excited to share the Word of God with you today, because according to Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I trust this message will increase your faith as you listen to what God has for you today. God bless and enjoy. We have been talking about the wonderful names of God. And before I get started, I'd like to have a word of prayer this morning. Father, we're so thankful that you have given us this day to be able to celebrate together. I believe, Father God, you've given us life and we're to enjoy life. We're to be about your business always, but you've given us family, you've given us church, you've given us a relationship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ. So, Father, today, help us to enjoy every aspect of what you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We have been talking about the wonderful names of God, and I've given you several names so far. You can go ahead and put those up. I'm not going to read through each one of those. But we are, today we will be talking about, And number 12, that's the one we're going to be talking about today, Shem, Jehovah Shem. And this is found in Ezekiel, beginning in chapter 40. Ezekiel receives a vision of New Jerusalem and the temple during the millennial reign of Christ. At least that's what we believe is taking place. The city is a beautiful place. The temple is magnificent. And the last chapter of 48, Ezekiel gives us the name of this place. And he says this, verse 35, all the way around shall be 18,000 cubits, and the name of the city from that day shall be Jehovah Shem. Or Jehovah, the Lord is there. The Lord is there. And that's what we want to focus on this morning. We know that each one of these names give us a different attribute of God. And our God is so multifaceted, we cannot explain Him through these attributes that we have, even Old Testament or New Testament. We know for sure that the Scripture tells us He is love. And that's one of the things that we like to focus on in the body of Christ, and it's important. Love, our God is love. But our God is much more than that as well. We have to understand He is also a God of righteousness, and He is also a God of judgment. And because of His love and because of His righteousness, He must judge unrighteousness. And He will do that eventually. Now, because of the relationship that we have with His Son, Jesus Christ, we become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That's a good place to shout. I want you to know that. Because that is our freedom, knowing that we do not have to earn any kind of righteousness before Almighty God. It is given to us through the blood of Jesus Christ. The word Jehovah literally means the name I am the one who is, or the self-existent one. The Greek tetragrammation, or four letters from the Hebrew alphabet, is Yod, He, Vav, He. Most biblical scholars believe that this is probably, when it's put together, pronounced Yahweh. We don't know for sure. The real name of God, or the complete name of God, has actually been lost in time. But what we know is that we know who our God is, and that's what's most important. This attribute of God in particular shows us the omnipresence of God, that He is everywhere all the time. He's always been in the past, He's in the present, and He's going to always be in the future. Time does not exist with our God. He's a timeless God. He is the Ancient of Days, is what the Scripture tells us. He's always been, and He always will be. We can rest assured that our Lord is always present in every situation that we go through. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a promise that we need to hold on to. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will see us through every situation. Deuteronomy 31:6 says this, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Our God is always going not only with us, but he, most of the time, he goes before us. He's not only before us, he's beside us, he's behind us. That's the omnipresence of our God. He surrounds us all the time. So this morning I'm going to make 3 points, quick points, and we're going to move on out of here this morning. His presence is working in you. That's point number one. Psalms 46:1. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. That's who our God is, a very present help in trouble. No matter what we're going through, he is always present. He is always there. This scripture doesn't just mean that he's looking over us. It implies that our God is present, active. He is working in us. That's who our God is. He is in you. Know this, that because you have received Christ as your personal Savior, you have Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, living inside of you. God is in you. That's an incredible thought. I know it's hard to fathom, but it's a reality. Our God has come to dwell in us. We are the temple of God. Paul makes that very clear to us. That's why, as the temple of God, we must be very cautious how we conduct our lives. That as the temple, we conduct our lives in such a way that we glorify the name of Jesus Christ and not discredit that name in any way. In the 1990s, Bette Midler recorded a popular song written by songwriter Julie Gold. Someone else had written it, recorded it before that. But it became very popular. It was called From a Distance. Anybody remember that song? You heard that song before? It's got some good lines in it, but one of the things it says at the end of the song, in the song she repeats this line several times, God is watching us. God is watching us. God is watching us from a distance. There could be nothing more untrue than that. Our God is not watching us from a distance. Now, I read some things about the song, and it may not mean exactly what it sounds like it means based on what the writer said, but my focus right now is I just want you to understand that that's not true. God is not watching you from a distance. God is present with you right now. God is present with you everywhere you go. That's why when you sit down at night and turn the boob tube on, be careful what you watch. God is with you. When you go someplace and you have an inclination to lash back at that clerk at the store that's being rude to you. Remember, God is with you. Not only that, but you're a representation of who he is. When you're having issues with your family, and you have a tendency and you have a desire sometimes to be rude and get back at something that your spouse said to you or one of your kids said, remember, God is with you. God is watching you. God is in you. Psalms 34:18 says, the Lord is near to those who have broken heart and save such as have a contrite spirit. When you go through things in your life, God is there. He's present with you. 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. The Lord delivers him out of them all. Then Psalms 37, 23 and 24 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. If God orders our steps and he delights in our wise ways, that must mean that he certainly is with us wherever we go and whatever we do. Though he fall, talking about a man, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Listen to this in the New Living Translation. I like the way it says this. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of your life. Every detail of your life. You think there's some things in your life that's not significant to God. That's insignificant. God don't care about it. I want you to understand, according to this scripture, and the Word of God does not lie, he cares about every detail of your life. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. Hallelujah. That's comforting to me, to know that my God is right here holding my hand. Doesn't sound like a God that's far off or aloof. Not at all. Sounds like a God that cares and is present. He's working in you. He's dealing with every issue. He knows you are not perfect, but he has a process going on in your life called sanctification. You get sanctified immediately. Set apart. That's what sanctification means. You get set apart immediately when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But that process of sanctification never stops as you continue in your relationship with the Lord. It literally means to set apart for special use or purpose. Hallelujah. Our God, this is how important you are to God. He has set you apart for a special purpose. He loves you. He cares that much for you. He's there for you. 1 Corinthians 1:2, to the church of God, Paul's writing, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, those who are set apart, called to be saints, with all who in every place called on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Everywhere we call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have been sanctified by that blood. So as we recognize this ongoing sanctification process, John, in the book of John, it was recorded 17:17, Jesus saying this, sanctify them by the truth, your word is truth. So if you want that sanctification process to continue in your life, guess where you get sanctified? Through the word of God. The word of God is our schoolmaster. The Word of God sets us on the right course. The Word of God is what deals with the issues, helps us to deal with the issues in our life. God is not some taskmaster who is trying to beat us into submission. Our God is a loving God, and He has His Word designed for the purpose of directing, encouraging, and setting us on the right course. So the sanctification process, the changes that take place in your life on a daily basis will come through the reading and understanding of the Word of God. Sanctification is a very important process. When I was growing up, my mom would say, go get ready for church. And I knew she meant to go put my church clothes on. We always had church clothes. I don't know if we so much have church clothes anymore. We wear clothes for just about everything, or we're a lot more casual than we used to be, I think, in church. But those clothes were set apart. They were set apart for church and other special occasions. We would wear them for other things that we went to that were more formal. But they were set apart. They were sanctified. We had sanctified clothes. You know, it seems like a strange thing to think about, but it's a reality. They were just set apart. And that's why you have been set apart. But you've not just been set apart for Sunday morning. Let's make sure we understand that completely. You've been set apart for every day, every second, every moment of your life. You have been set apart to serve the living God through His Son, Jesus Christ. So when we go home from this sanctified place, in this sanctified gathering, we don't just take off our Sunday clothes, our sanctified clothes, or our sanctified life. That sanctified life continues at home. It continues at the workplace, at the marketplace. It continues wherever we go, the grocery store, when we go to eat out. Wherever we go, that sanctification is going with us. We're set apart. And yes, when we come home, we're still sanctified in Jesus' name. Sad thing is that some people treat their Christianity the same way of putting the clothes on and off. They put on a different atmosphere and attitude when they go to church than what they carry with them the rest of the week. We can't do that. We've got to recognize how important it is to live for the Lord Jesus Christ every moment of our life. We must guard against developing the kind of attitude that remembers, that thinks that God is watching us from a distance. Because if you get that kind of attitude, you think that God's not really paying attention. I can guarantee you, He is paying attention to your life. The psalmist said in 119 verse 11, "Your word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you." The word's powerful, and it'll help us to stay on track. Number two, His presence is working through you. Psalms 121, verse 8, "The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." In every situation, His presence is working through you to accomplish His will. His works through us are by faith. When we act on His word, we are acting by faith to allow Him to work through us. In Hebrews 11, there's several scriptures. This is called, referred to as the faith chapter. And it refers to several different, about 15 different patriarchs in the Old Testament, beginning with Enoch, the one that was translated. It was taken up to heaven. Each time He says this about their faith, and paraphrase it, but he says this mostly about their faith, that their faith pleased God, and it was by their actions. They not only believed in God and trusted God, but they acted like it. Other people could see it. Other people could they were representing the kingdom. In Hebrews 11:39, it says this, "All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith." How many want a good reputation? Not in God, not in man's eyes. We want to have a good reputation in man's eyes. I believe if we have a good reputation in God's eyes, we'll have a good reputation in man's eyes. But that's the most important thing. Regardless what the world says, regardless of how crazy this world gets, calling good evil and evil good, we want a good reputation with our God. That's the most important part. The story is told about George Mueller praying for his childhood friends to be saved. And he had four of them he was praying for. And before he passed away, three of them accepted Christ as their personal Savior. The fourth one was just stubborn. He wouldn't do it. But Mueller was convinced that God was going to answer his prayer. He believed God that much, that God would answer his prayer. Well, Mueller passed away. At his funeral, that friend accepted Jesus as his personal Savior. Things don't always turn out exactly the way we think they should. We'd like for them always to happen in our timing and at our will, But our God is the one that is on the throne. When you align yourself with the Word of God, I believe you're working to accomplish His will. And even if you don't see it in this lifetime, it will be fulfilled. I believe that. The last thing I'm going to share with you this morning is His presence is working for you. How many want God to work for them? Okay. Let Him work in you. Let Him work through you. And I believe He will work for you. Without a doubt. The purpose of God being present in the life of Joseph was revealed when Joseph acted properly in every circumstance that he went through. When he was sold into slavery by his brothers, I'm sure he didn't understand what was going on. God had given him dreams. He had a vision for his life. He believed that he was going to be very prominent in the lives of his brothers and in society. God had given him this great dream that the moon and the stars, his mother and his father were going to bow down to him. His brothers were going to bow down to him. And they all hated him for it. And when he was sold into slavery, human nature, surely he questioned God. What is going on here, Father? What are you doing? You promised me. And yet, even when he was sold into slavery, he did not turn his back on his God. He trusted him. And things began to turn around. He was in Potiphar's house, became his steward, and he was in charge of everything. And then things went bad. Potiphar's wife propositioned him over and over and over, and finally she accused him. And he was put in prison. Once again, you'd have to cry out, God, I've been faithful to you. Where are you? But eventually, God's ultimate plan was fulfilled in Joseph's life. It wasn't in his household that it was going to be fulfilled. It wasn't in Potiphar's household that it was going to be fulfilled. It was when he was in prison that it was going to be fulfilled. He was going to be taken out of that prison and suddenly become the most powerful man in Egypt. That's how our God works in your life. It looks bad, but suddenly things turn around. Suddenly God shows up. Suddenly the enemy is defeated. Suddenly our God is alive. He surely is. Joseph's brothers were concerned that Joseph was going to try to get revenge. Joseph said this to them after the passing of his dad. Genesis 15, 19 and 20. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in the place. Am I in the place of God? In other words, I'm not God. I'm not going to judge you. But as for you, you thought evil against me. See, Joseph had realized exactly this was God's plan all along. And you have to accept the fact that God sometimes has plans for us that do not feel good. But they ultimately are for our good. He went on to say, yea, though evil against me, but good, God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. God had a purpose. It wasn't just for Joseph. Let's remember that. It was not just for Joseph. It was for his whole family. It was for all of mankind at that time. God saved all of men because of this great famine that came upon the earth through Moses and through Joseph and his great wisdom that God gave him. He was used mightily. I believe that's God is speaking to His people today. We're not going to be a Joseph. We may not save all of society. But listen, God has a purpose for you. And He's working for you on your behalf. Let Him work in you. Let Him work through you. And let Him work for you. seeing what Joseph went through always helps me to realize that when things don't look good, God is still on the throne. God is still in control. I can hold on to that scripture in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them are they called according to His purpose. It doesn't say all things will work pleasantly for you. It just says all things will work for you good. During World War II, Corrie ten Boom was imprisoned in a Nazi death camp. Is there anybody in here have read her book? Okay, good. Hiding Place, right? That's what it's called. If you've never heard her, maybe you want to go on YouTube and Google Corrie ten Boom. Her story is just incredible. But her family, I think they were a Dutch family, and the Nazis had taken over. But her father and mother were Christians, and her father was a very staunch believer. And he did everything he could to save the Jews, the Jewish people. And he hid them, many of them, in his home. And the Nazis found out about it. So the whole family was separated. Corrie and her sister, they went one place. Mother and father went another place. She never heard of her mother and father again. Her sister died in the camp. But afterwards, Corrie was able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ in such a way that people were able to recognize that even when we go through these really difficult times, that our God is always there. He's always with us. She said it was a very difficult time for her. And afterwards, she didn't know what she was going to do. But she was sure that God had sent her to the United States. So she came here to the United States. She knew nobody. She knew nothing. She hardly knew the language. She was really struggling. She asked God, "What are you going to do, God? What are you doing with me?" Before she went to sleep one night, she opened the Bible and she said, "My eyes fell on Psalms 147, verse 11. The Lord takes pleasure in those that hope in His mercy." The very next day, she attended a Dutch church service in New York City. There, the minister invited her to speak. When the minister invited her to speak, that opened the door for many other invitations for her to begin to share her story about what God had done in her life through her and with her family. She wrote the book, and she became very well known before she passed away. She said this: "Never be afraid to trust a future. Trust a future you don't know to a God you do know." We don't know our future, but we can trust our God that He is going to be with us no matter what. Hallelujah. Stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob again. I pray you enjoyed this podcast. What a blessing it has been to have you join us on this social media platform. If you would like more information about Bethel, please check out our website at bethelchurch.community. You can also follow us on our Facebook page at Bethel Church, Tepper's Plains. Have a blessed day, and remember, love never fails.